I'm Katie Atwell, co-host of the EduGals podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our second Monday episode of My EdTech Life. I am so excited because this Monday has pretty much been a Kami takeover, which is great because I don't mind it because Kami is the go-to tool, and I'm really excited for today. So for those of you that are joining us, wherever in the world you may be, thank you so much, as always, for all of your support, likes, shares, and follows. But today, we've got an amazing, amazing conversation, and I don't know, it just seems like this conversation is definitely going to be one for the books, as I welcome Mr. Marcus Stein from Kami. Marcus, how are you doing this morning?
Pew, 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 pew. I'm good. I'm on coffee number two. So wide awake, excited, thrilled, looking forward to chatting it up. I've turned everything on do not disturb. So it's me and you today and our friends in the comments.
Perfect. I'm excited too because I'm highly caffeinated. Had an espresso right now. I'm on my third round of coffee. So definitely the energy will be here today for sure. So no doubt. But before we get started, for all of you that are joining us, maybe again, you're either joining us today or you're going to be catching this on the replay. And you may not be familiar with Marcus yet, which I really doubt because Marcus, if you have been at an EdTech conference, you have seen him, you have seen him present. But just in case, Marcus, can you give us a little brief introduction and your context in education before we get into that origin story?
Yeah. So, hey, y'all. Today, I'm the head of teacher success at Kami, one of your favorite EdTech apps. If you don't know it, now you know. And before that, I was a middle school and high school English teacher. So how do you jump from that to this? It's a good story.
Exactly. And we're going to get into that right now because, as you know, everybody that is a guest on My EdTech Life is somebody that I have looked up to, somebody that is doing some great things in the EdTech space, bringing some knowledge to teachers and just has a great energy. And I actually had the honor to meet you in person at TCEA this last year. And I'll tell a little bit about that story before we get into your origin story. So here I am in the Kami booth and I'm talking to Vanessa and then I'm seeing, you know, a little presentation there. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Marcus Stein. Like, I'm like, wow. And so we started talking and then, you know, he saw me with my cap, of course, sporting my EdTech Life cap. And he's like, hey, you know, kind of like, I recognize that cap. And then because our boy, Steve Martinez, works for Kami also. So that was just a great connection and a great story there. But now I'm excited to have you here on the show and hear your origin story. So my question to you, Marcus, before we get into just telling us how you went from classroom teacher to Kami, my question is always to also, was education something that you always wanted to go into, or was it something that came in a little bit later and you absolutely fell in love with?
It came in my second semester in university. I was 18. So not always, but before I wasted too many college credits on the wrong major, it came in just in time. So I would say not always, but definitely my freshman year in university.
Perfect. Excellent. Now, what was it that made that change happen?
All right. Laugh at this. Whatever. When I started university, I was a mass communications major and I wanted to do public relations for nightclubs. Such an 18-year-old idea. I mean, you can make money off of it. It's just, it was so specific. It was like, I'm going to do promotions and I'm going to be rich. And my first semester, where you're taking your general ed classes, and I took an English 102 because I skipped 101, and I was with a couple of sophomores, and we were writing our first essay. And I'm zooming. It's like, I love it. I love to write. I love to tell stories. I love to talk. I am killing it. And I'm happy. I'm coming to class loving it. My classmates are miserable. So one day, a young lady, she approached me after class, and she was like, you just seem like you have it. Like, how'd you do on that first essay? And I was like, oh, it's an A. I was like, I wrote it the same day we assigned it. And she was like, can you show me how? And I was like, yeah, I just use a formula. I follow a pattern. It's a routine. It never fails me when it comes time to respond to somebody's question. I just know how to do it. So we hung out that day and I showed her how I did it. And she was like, you should be an English teacher. She was like, I don't know what you're here for. I don't know what you need to do or what your major is. She was like, but I've taken English classes my whole life. I'm in college now. And I've always struggled with writing essays. And the way you just sat me down, we laughed a little bit, and you showed me what you do, you're supposed to be an English teacher. So before the end of my first semester, I changed my major to English education, specifically grades 6 through 12, the grades where you teach people how to write essays. Because in that moment, I was like, this is fun. I have a captive audience, which I love. All eyes on me. And I'm just getting to tell my story of how I learned how to do this, which I enjoyed. And from there, my next semester was like your intro education course where you watch every grade level teach. And I just knew, I was like, I'm going to be a high school English teacher. I'm going to be an essayist. So that's when I knew.
There you go. That is amazing. And, you know, it's interesting how that happens, that turn in life. And I, you know, with you wanting to be a promoter, things of that sort, hey, you know what? Like I wanted to go into, well, I went into business, but then I ended up in education, but it's just, I absolutely loved it. You know, and this is 16 years ago and I love absolutely everything about it. And like for yourself, that transition, and I can definitely see that, you know, I probably, if I had a writing teacher like yourself, and one thing that I do want to highlight is that storytelling process. I think that that's so important in captivating an audience. So I'm sure that your students are definitely engaged within that storytelling process. And of course we see it in the presentations that you give, you know, being everywhere, presenting. I think that's something that you and Melissa both bring, which is that storytelling concept into the learning. And that is so valuable. So can you tell us like how long you were in working as a teacher before you made this transition?
So good. So I did eighth grade for 2 years in a public school. And then I did seventh and eighth grade in a charter school for 2 years. And all four of those years, I was the impromptu techie. Everybody knows it. We've all been the impromptu techie at the school. No formal title, no formal anything. Just everybody is always like, how you did that? How you do that? Ooh, your class looked fun. And it was always me. So 4.5 is how much I did before I knew there was an opportunity for me to take the teaching to teachers.
Excellent. And, you know, I agree with you as far as being that impromptu techie. I mean, when I transitioned from high school to elementary, I was on my little pod, and then the school was like, hey, Mr. Mendoza, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? And so on. But in the same way, always bringing the tech and my students laughing, my students outside, you know, using Screencastify, recording, using the Chromebooks. I was that one teacher that would check out the Chromebook cart all year long. That cart never left my room because we were using it.
Same. Oh my gosh. I'm going to show my age here, but this was before Chromebooks. We had netbooks. Oh, never forget netbooks.
Yes. No, we had those when I first moved into sixth grade, and that cow or cart was huge. It really was the size of a cow. I know we call them cows, computers on wheels, but that thing was huge. And we started with the netbooks, and I started with Edmodo. I started with Google and all of those things. And then finally we got the Chromebooks the following year, and I just checked those out all year long. But you're absolutely right. My class was fun. All the teachers were like, you know, what's going on here? And that actually in 2016 is when I first started using Kami. 2016, 2017, around that year that I discovered in its infancy, but I was like, this has been the game changer. And I still have little Facebook memories where it'll pop up and my kids are using Kami back in the day and everything, and now what it's transitioned to. But yes, that's kind of what helped me get this role as an instructional software specialist as well within the district and pursuing that master's in educational technology, which tell us a little bit about that too as well, because I know that that's something that you, in the transition, you definitely worked on that as well. So give us a little glimpse into that journey.
This is so fun. I want to also point out that like each jump. So when I started university and somebody said, you should be an English teacher, I was like, great idea. My fourth year into teaching, there was a teacher who said, you should just teach us how to use tech. And I take that as a sign, right? So after the fourth year of teaching, I had an opportunity to audition, I don't know, interview for a Promethean reseller. So there's regional companies that sell smart boards and Promethean boards. And I had an opportunity to do my thing. I taught with a Promethean board. And so I was like, I got this. So auditioned, jumped into vendor world very early on. I think this was like, what year was this? I had to write it down. This is like 2012, 2013. And that was my first taste of doing PD and EdTech sales full time. And it was hard. It's hard because you feel like at first you sell out to what your original truth was, which was teaching kids. And so you feel a little disillusioned and you're like, what am I doing here? So like a crazy person, somewhere in working as a vendor, I decided to get a master's in ed tech leadership at the same time because it never leaves you. The thirst to learn and to teach it back, it just, if you're a real teacher, you don't ever want to stop learning. And so I felt I was losing it. So I went and got the master's in EdTech leadership online, finished it in a year and a half, like a true overachiever. And what that gave me is the perspective of value in what we do. Like, it's fun to teach tech. It's fun to teach people how to write essays. But to learn what value that brings to teachers or to kids, that's the click that happened in my grad program. I was like, wait a minute. The way I'm teaching and the things I'm prescribing to teachers to learn, this is valuable. And now I know why and how. So I had a blast. I know it's torture for some people, but I love overachieving. I'm one of those. So the graduate program is what, I guess, confirmed the pathway I was on.
Perfect. That's excellent. And, you know, and such a great story, like you mentioned, you know, that disconnect that maybe you feel like, it's like, oh man, I'm out of the classroom helping students. But now what I always say, and when I see just amazing educators that are out there at these conferences and they're presenting, I'm like, you maybe sometimes because maybe we don't give them enough feedback and maybe they start questioning. But for a lot of those presenters, I always try and say, hey, you know what I learned from you today, I'm applying it within my classroom, and then it's getting to the students. So although you may not be teaching directly, you are making a huge impact on so many people at so many different levels. And oftentimes, maybe you may not hear that, but I just want to say thank you, Marcus, for what you do, because I know that the work that you do and the energy that you bring in from your experience in teaching, from your experience now with CAMI, I mean, there's a reason you're there at CAMI, and, you know, being able to share that knowledge, I guarantee you are definitely making an impact, not only on myself, as far as what I learned from you and Melissa and everybody else at CAMI, to bring it down to our district. And then, of course, that trickles down to our kids. So you're still making that impact, my friend. And I really thank you for that. And I hope that you do see that.
Thank you. I do now. It's tough at first when you leave the classroom officially. It's tough.
Yeah, no, for sure. So tell us a little bit then about, now you've got your master's in educational leadership, you're doing the vendor thing. So that opens up, you know, opportunities to go visit, travel, and so on. So I kind of want to know that story of how all of that led to this over here with CAMI now.
All right. So I officially have more experience selling PD as a vendor, selling EdTech software and hardware as a vendor than I do in the classroom. So I'm very aware of how fun the PD can be, but like all of these companies have a bottom line. like they do. They're for profit, so there has to be some sort of profit. I've never had to really worry about the profit part because I'm really just talking about things that I've used and loved and I'm passionate about. However, the pandemic shook everything. Like, it made me question, how valuable am I now that we aren't in person? Like, what value do I bring to the table now that I can't charm you in person and do the in-person pedagogy that is sort of my sweet spot? My wheelhouse is engaging people, high-fiving, running up and down the aisle, modeling, hands-on, grabbing a teacher by the hand and saying, yes, you can do it. And I got none of that. So when the pandemic hit, it was tough. It was depressing. It was sad because I'm an extrovert. But a lot of us used Cami. A lot of us transitioned with Cami. A lot of our practices moved from in-person to Zoom or Google Meet or one of the 12,000 other recording apps that we used during that time. And Cami hosted its second virtual conference called Cami Connect, and I was asked to be the host. Of course I said yes. Of course I said yes. It's on YouTube somewhere. Y'all can find it. Cami Connect. And I have never decorated a room so much in my life. It was like putting a classroom together, like choosing what to put on the wall, setting the lights, doing wardrobe, booking my haircut. It was really like setting up a classroom, and it brought some brightness back to me. This idea that I'm building a space to teach in again. Okay, we're gonna build it. And over obsessing about what camera I use and microphone, I was like, okay, this is like setting the best teaching space. It's just like in person. Set it right, get it together. Don't be haphazard. Think of it, like be in tune, Marcus. And I felt myself light up again at that opportunity. And we had a blast. I made 6 wardrobe changes that day. like it was an all-day conference. I had so much fun. It felt like teaching again at a time when I was really sad to not be with people. And after that, apparently I did such a good job. They decided that they wanted to form a teacher success team of one, And my job would be to do the things that I did on Cami Connect. Have fun, build a safe, open space to teach people where they feel like you're in person, and touch as many people as possible with what I call prescriptive PD. Listening first, delivering second. And that is where this team came to be, is everything I learned in the pandemic, in the grad program, in my time as a vendor, as an ed tech helper, to put it in such a pressurized situation and spit it out and people be like, wow, this is fun. I am learning. I am loving it. It was like, okay, this is a model. This is a thing. And so that is where this team at Cami came to be, teacher success. That is where the vision came to be, the success of the teacher, no matter what. Like that vision just came to be out of such a tough time. So, yeah, that's how I got on Cami. I volunteered to do a virtual show, and they were like, you nailed it, won a job. And I said, yeah, I haven't been this happy in a while.
You know, Marcus, that's such an amazing story. Like, I can tell, like, you know, why, how you captivate an audience. And you're talking about storytelling. But I felt every emotion like you were talking about, and especially the time where you were talking about like, oh man, like we're locked in, like we can't do anything. And I even heard that the tone of your voice change. And then when you started talking about Cami Connect, how that changed and now it's bright and everything. And I am excited. I am so happy for you because honestly, like, you know, in hearing this story and what you've gone through, and then of course the experience that you have in the classroom, aside from, you know, all the sales experience that you have also that you've taken, but now bringing all that together and those experiences. And now one thing that I love, that I would love for you to like just highlight a little bit more, because I think it needs to kind of be said and emphasized a little bit more, was the point of prescriptive PD. You said it's listen first, then prescribe. So tell us just a little bit about maybe how that came about, or that idea. Was it something that you already learned and had done for a while, or is it something, or your the way that you deliver PD is something that kind of just evolved into this prescriptive PD? Because, and the reason I ask is because sometimes PD is just given to you, but I mean, really, it's just kind of like a shot in the dark. So tell us a little bit more about that as far as how you deliver that prescriptive PD and kind of model that for us.
Yeah, I would say I got the concept derived from grad school, like learning different professional development models, and then realizing that the system that is in place is not built for you to be prescriptive. Here's what I mean. If a vendor sells a certain product to a certain school, there's now a list of things you have to learn. If there's a new curriculum that your school buys into, there's things you have to learn. There are state and federal mandates where teachers have to attend professional development with things you have to learn. And so what I realized shortly after graduate school was that that was holding us back as PD providers. Like, the pressure of I have to get through these 18 topics in 60 minutes was overriding what we know to be true. If you want to engage with people, you got to meet them where they at. We know that about kids. But when it comes to adult learning, I just realized, wait a minute, all of these theories are great, but like, we got a fundamental problem. Like, we're afraid of loosening those mandates just a little in order to be more personalized and prescriptive, is what I call it. And so CAMI Connect and the pandemic and doing virtual PD, there's no way you could get on and just start teaching. You don't know if they Google, they Microsoft, you don't know if they Schoology, Canvas, Teams, Classroom, Blackboard, Moodle. You don't know if they're using Zoom, Google Meet, or something else you never heard of, like any meeting or GoToMeeting. You don't know if they even know what a cloud storage is. You don't know what type of machines they're using, their kids are using. You don't know how strong their Wi-Fi is or isn't. And all of those are factors that are going to break or make your virtual PD. And so what I figured very quickly is like, dang, I can't go in assuming anything. And that is when I feel like the pandemic, when I really shifted to being like, you know what? I'm not even going to teach at first. I'm just going to have a playbook of things I know work. And I'm going to call upon those when I see the teacher pose a problem. So what has become more important is play at the start of professional development. Questions, like subtle questions that pull out that knowledge you need to know where to go next. Things that feel unrelated that are fun. And then you learn about the audience and their tech prowess. Like, if you ask everybody to type something in the chat, you are learning that, one, they know where the chat is. They know how to use their keyboard. They can interact with you when called upon. So why are you saying, y'all tell me how y'all doing? No. What's your favorite song you're listening to right now? Everybody pose your zodiac sign. Have fun and play so that you know what to prescribe. Now that I know they know how to use that, that means they know how to use this Google Meet service that we're using. So I'm not about to teach that at all. Skip it. Move on. Teach people what makes sense to their lives. And I feel like virtual pushed me in that direction to the point where schools, even my team, they're like, we need a menu. We need a list of PD we provide. And I said, no, I'm pretty anti that. I don't want a menu. I don't want to publish a list of courses. And that's something I set into place. Sorry, team, but I just believe in that. Like, you should have a playbook, but you should never be like, this is what we can offer. No. What we can offer is unlimited. there is no limit to what we can do if we figure out what your problems are and what you need. So when did it start? The pandemic. And it just gets stronger and stronger every day when I learn what different people need. And that's where we tend to differentiate in the way we do PD.
Absolutely. Awesome. I love that walkthrough, Marcus. It's very specific. And, you know, talking about the playbooks and just always being able to have that play to come to whenever, you know, the situation needs it. And I absolutely love, when you said, it's like, no, we're not going to have a menu. That's kind of how I work too within my district. And oftentimes it's different, you know, the culture and everything, but I'm one of those that I don't like to just say, okay, this is what we're going to be offering. It's like, no. Let's see what it is that we need. Let's find out those problems first and let's see how we can solve it. And so I feel that gives you just a little bit more of ability and just to, it heightens your senses to what it is that you need to do. And then you're able to react and provide what you need and what that person may need. And I love that. So I do want to say though, like what I love is that you mentioned during pandemic too, Cammy, with my experience with Cammy back in 2016, 2017, that was actually one of the must-have apps that I recommended during pandemic for our district. And thankfully we've stuck with it since because it has made our life a lot easier. Working with my math content specialist, what we do is we go and we provide, I call it personal development for parents, because what we do, we'll go and show them, quote unquote, the new math, which, you know, really it's just using manipulatives, virtual manipulatives. And
thank you. So on. Thank you.
And Cammy has been our go-to, you know, for anything that we need to do as far as annotations, showing them how to do the pictorial models for mathematics. But we show this to parents and then we share the tools. So now parents are like, oh, okay, this tool is available to my son or daughter. It's like, excellent. You know, they feel comfortable. They get to know about what we do. And of course they learn some math with it too as well. So we're really excited about that, but it has made a big difference within our flow, even at the administrative side, which oftentimes I know a lot of people don't maybe say anything about Cammy on the administrative side, but Cammy's like the bomb for administrative side. It's like, sign here, sign that you're present, you know, annotate here. Okay, guys, let's go ahead and make some changes here. You know, meetings go off very well when we use Cammy. And then I wanted to add that additional layer for myself, which I posted a while back, is for my personal study time and my, you know, all the reading that I have to do for my doctoral program and all my PDFs. It just works so well. So whether you're a student, whether you're a teacher, whether you're an administrator or a parent or just a lifelong learner and need a tool, like I have not been able to find a hole in Cammy at all whatsoever because it's offered everything that I need and then some. So going along with that, I know I saw some amazing things at TCEA and some of the great things that Cammy has added. So I would love for you to maybe just share a little bit of that Cammy magic with us for our audience members that may not haven't tried it yet or maybe aren't even aware of that. And I don't know, maybe if there's anything that maybe you might be able to hint at that might be coming. I don't know. I don't want to get you into any trouble for sharing anything, but, you know, sometimes.
Me? Trouble? No.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about all the great stuff that Cammy has added.
I would say the first thing is we're keenly driven by teacher success. It's the reason why my team was formed, the reason why my team has grown, the biggest team at Cammy since the pandemic, because we want this to work for your problems. We want to solve your problems. So feed us feedback, hit us up at Cammy app on any social media. We love to see it. Anything that we can do to help solve your everyday problems, like, we got you. Where we're going, I would say the first place person that is benefiting from where we're going are our Google Classroom users. If you install the Cammy Chrome extension, a lot of enhancements will come to the integration in Cammy Google Classroom. I'm gonna give you one. Watch this. For instance, Now, if you make a CAMI assignment in Google Classroom, we give you a beta feature called Grade by Page. Ignore the name. The name may change, but it's a beta feature. So if you assign with CAMI and you go to the page where it shows all the kids' assignments, there'll be a beta button to click. When you click it, it will load all of the student work onto one screen. No flipping pages, no next. You can compare two students side by side. And it's also live. So, yes, so this means assign it. You can open it immediately, teacher, and monitor the students as they work. You can drop feedback on individual students as they work. Again, it's a beta feature, but it's definitely there for all Google Classroom users who have the CAMI Chrome extension installed. So that, I would say, is the hottest. You can almost like smell where we're going with this. You can sense it. So I would say that's a definite hint of something to look for. If you haven't used it, you're missing out.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know, Marcus, that is such a wonderful tool, because oftentimes the case is teacher. And again, there's so many platforms that are out there. And one thing that I always talk to my teachers about and changing their mentality is we need to keep it simple. And what happens oftentimes, Marcus, is that we have CAMI, and oftentimes teachers really don't dive in deep to what is there. And some of them don't realize, like, oh my gosh, like this was here all along and all in one app, because sometimes, you know, you app hop. I mean, it's only natural. They're on Twitter, they're on this. It's like, oh, I want to try this now and I want to try this now. But I kind of tell them a little bit, like, keep it simple, because that for your students and then for yourself as a learning curve can be difficult. But one of the biggest things is always, is there anything out there that can help me see what my students are doing or if they're actually working? And now with this, this is a game changer, because you will be able to see that page by page and give that feedback. And again, also what I love about it is how intentional you can be as a teacher on, you don't have to call out somebody in class for something. It's like, you can just drop in a little note and say, hey, is everything okay? Do you have a question? And it, all you're going to see is like the head go up, probably like, okay, what's going on here? Or just give some really good feedback to a student. Again, not calling them out, just making them feel good, making them, safe. And I love that feature, because that's something that I would do with Google Docs just in the classroom. But now with CAMI, game changer.
One
so
screen.
I absolutely love that.
One screen. Just
love it.
Again, teacher success. We want to speed it up for you. We want you to be able to do it no matter where the kids go. That's the thing that the pandemic shook me on, is now I'm really in a mindset of, if they come to school or not, how are you going to give everybody that fair, that fun, that personalized experience? Assign it to everyone and you can monitor the whole class whether they're in front of you or not.
Perfect. I love that. Anything else, Mark?
Oh, yeah. Again, a lot of times you'll see our features touch Google and Google Classroom first. That was our original LMS integration. So we tend to try things there first. This exists, but I would say people forget. If you assign with CAMI in Google Classroom, you can click the teacher material, the template, and you'll see an edit material button at the top. You can actually edit the teacher material without having to delete the assignment. Because as everybody knows, if you mess up on a Google Classroom assignment, you got to delete it and start over. With CAMI, you can edit that material, cover some content up, drop a YouTube video or your voice or some helpful instructions on the page without having to start over, and it'll populate on all of the kids' individual pages.
Game changer. Talk about a workflow. And you're absolutely right. You know, teachers, it's like, now I have to delete, now I have to start over. It's like, nah, forget this. And then they get discouraged. But like you said, coming back, teacher success. You've already shown two great tips for teacher success, in not only for students, but also for teachers and helping their workflow be a lot smoother. I'm pretty sure you might have a list of things, but I kind of wanted to just interject a little bit, because one of my biggest things, because we're in that season, and maybe this will be something too that you want to share, you know, we call this the star testing season. And one thing that I saw at TCA that I loved, that Tara Turner presented, and she created a great resource there too, and a lot of great shares, is just the questions, you know, making, you know, adding and dropping in multiple choice and all of that. Tell us a little bit more about that, since we're in that testing season.
You know, another great feature being tested for Google Classroom users at the moment, you'll see a bonus tool, teachers. You see a bonus tool when you go to Kami, and it's Kami Questions. And so if you already have testing materials, content that you're planning to prep with, you can layer a Kami question on top of it. And so it's a drop-down question, it's a multiple choice, it's a text fill-in. So all of the common sort of options that kids see on STAR testing. But when you combine that with our ability to read aloud and highlight and underline and put them next to each other, you get to simulate that STAR testing experience. So kids go into the test confident about the exam itself and just nailing the content. We don't want kids to struggle just because they've never experienced an environment like this. And so Kami has Kami Questions now, which will let you simulate that process so the students go in like testing confident and just worrying about the content.
There you go. Teachers, repurposing. And I think, you know, this is one of my things. Kami for myself has been probably one of the, maybe the ultimate repurposing tool, in the sense that, hey, if I've got PDFs, if I've got sheets, if I've got whatever it is that I need to do, and I pop it in Kami, I can repurpose it easily, either from year to year, from class to class, or from student to student. And so I don't have to worry about recreating the wheel. And so everything that I'm hearing, Marcus, for myself, is just like, man, you guys are really greasing that squeaky wheel and just making it nice and smooth for teacher success and student success, my friend. And I absolutely love it.
Thanks.
All right. So Marcus, I don't know if you had anything else to share, but before, you know, if you need to go ahead, but I also want to ask you a little bit about the trip that y'all had to New Zealand and just how amazing it is that I see the community of the Kami community and seeing you there. And of course, with your extroverted personality that you have, and everybody else there, you know, just looking at that, that for myself as a product user really speaks volumes, because you see that the culture matches the message, and, you know, what you're bringing to us is in line with that. And oftentimes you don't see many companies show and share what it is that they're doing with that confidence, because, you know, sometimes things may not line up, but here, you know, from what I saw, it just shows that everybody is in line. They believe in the vision and they're bringing that out. So tell me a little bit about that experience over there in New Zealand, my friend.
Okay. So a week ago, I was living in the future in New Zealand. But everything about Kami and this place is people care about who you are and what you bring and your success more than they do what they hired you for. And this is the strangest, most magical place I've ever been in my life. It's why this prescriptive PD idea came to flourish. It's why the ideas that I feel like have been in my soul this whole time are now magically being conjured up and executed. It's because the culture of this place is for the person to truly succeed without so many barriers and boundaries of like traditional business structures. So something really non-traditional that Kami did for its 10th birthday, 10 years, is every chameleon is what we call our employees. Every chameleon was brought to New Zealand for our company's 10th birthday party. And it was a celebration of us and our ideas and the way we always come back to what's happening in the classroom. What problems can we solve? And like, it is a shared vision. It is a shared culture of open idea exchange and really escalating the things that help the class the most, the quickest, without people's egos and emotions getting in the way. It's like, I've never been in a place like this in my life. And then they send us to New Zealand and we're just living in the future, 16 hours ahead of America. And even more ideas come up because the synergy is together. And so now I feel like I understand why they did it. It's because when you take all of these electric brains that they have handpicked and they finally put us in the same space together, the things that have come out of that, get ready. It was worth it. The magic that was conjured by us just sharing space dedicated for a week at a place most of us have never been to in the future. Get ready. We have so much love and optimism and excitement and ingenuity coming to teachers that they've wanted all along. And I have the founders and the way this company values its culture to thank for that.
That is really exciting. And I am excited because just the way that you're describing and seeing so many, familiar faces there, and not only having the fun, but I mean, there's some pictures there where, you know, it's just everybody in a room. I'm sure you're discussing things, but I can only imagine what is coming, the innovation that's coming, and I'm all here for it. Like I said, I'm excited. Like that Cammy has been my one, like my Swiss Army knife for everything that I could use it for. And so it's only going to get better. And again, it all comes back to the teacher success. And I love it. And like, again, Marcus, you're a great ambassador for that message. You're a great ambassador for, you know, the prescriptive PD. You're a great ambassador for education. And I thank you seriously for what you do, because with your captivating personality and the energy that you bring into the space is something that is so needed to just be contagious for all of us and just to get us excited, not only obviously about Cammy, but just about education as a whole. So you keep doing what you're doing. And thank you so much for being an amazing guest and just getting to hear your story, getting to hear how you transitioned into this wonderful position and your goals in bringing that teacher success to every classroom around the world. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, friend. Thank you. All right.
Of course. And before we go though, and before I finish off with my last three questions, I just wanted to ask you a little bit, because I know in the bio you put there that you were a contestant on Wheel of Fortune. Can you tell me a little bit about that experience?
I sure was. It was Home Sweet Home Week 2015. I'm a wheel watcher, so I subscribe to the emails, and this is pre-pandemic. So they used to travel and do in-person auditions. Now it's all virtual. But I got an email saying, come audition in downtown New Orleans. So I did. And I thought it was a hoax. I didn't think any of it was real. Like, I was just like, oh, this is room and these people fake playing Wheel of Fortune. And like, you play a fake round and they just want to see how you react. And I was like, okay, that was weird. But when I left a month later, I got a letter in the mail saying you're in the official contestant pool. Be ready in the next 12 months. You will be called. You'll have a month's notice to plan and get your things together and come. So I got the letter in like May. They called me in like July and was like, we want you in August. We want to do an August airing. Can you be there? And I was like, yeah, of course. Of course. So I went to LA and I was on Wheel of Fortune and it was amazing. Everybody who goes, you do get like a stipend and a discount hotel, so it's not completely out of pocket. And you do get to keep the money that you actually win. So I didn't win the episode, spoiler alert, but I had a great time. That was awesome. Look it up. Marcus Stein, Wheel of Fortune. You'll see, like, it was great. Amazing.
Awesome. That's wonderful, Marcus. I really appreciate you. And that's a great experience. Thank you for sharing that with us. And Marcus, before we wrap up, can you please tell our audience members how they may be able to connect with you?
You can hit me up on any social media, Mr. Stein Online. It's the same handle everywhere. Give me a shout. Give me a DM. I'm not shy, clearly. And then if you need anything, Cammy, we're just at Cammy App on all social media.
Excellent. Well, Marcus, thank you so much. And here we go. Last round, three questions. Here we go. Question number one, Marcus, in the current state of education, what would you say is your current edu kryptonite?
My current kryptonite is a problem that I can't solve alone. And it's the dang teacher shortage. It irks me. It keeps me up at night. I'm like, why nobody want to be a teacher? Oh, well, this reason, this reason, this reason. And like, I'm consumed by trying to solve it all. And I don't have the answer. I don't have it. And it's killing me right now that I don't know how to solve the teacher shortage. So I would say that's my Achilles heel right now, is I don't have an answer for that.
Yeah. Okay. Great answer, Marcus. Thank you so much for opening up and being honest about that too, as well, because it's something that really isn't talked about too much, but thank you. Question number two, if you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Okay. So there's a book called The Four Agreements. I read it during the pandemic. It's like a self-help type of book. And one of the agreements is be impeccable with your word. So like I would have be impeccable with your word. What it means is think before you open your mouth. So you could put the casual version if you want to, but I believe that words are magic. And so you just got to be careful what you conjure with the words that you choose. So I would put be impeccable with your word.
Love it. Absolutely. Great sign. I couldn't agree with you more. All right. And the last question for you, Marcus, is let's say that this was the Mr. Stein online podcast this morning, and I am your guest. What would be one question you'd like to ask me?
Okay. Where is your ideal place in ed tech? Where are you going? What's your goal? What do you want to do? Where do you want to be?
All right. Great question. Well, in ed tech, really, my goal has always been to give back to the education landscape as much as I can. And right now, luckily, I've had the opportunity to do this through podcasting, being able to bring amazing guests such as yourself and, you know, all the other guests that we've had to really share out. My goal right now, currently, is just, you know, along with my doctoral studies, which I'll only have about a year, is really I want to grow. I want to get out there. I want to share my passion, my story. And, you know, there's going to come that time where I'm just really going to just really put myself out there. And so I need to really just, again, it's all in the perfect timing. But all you need is just that one opportunity, that one person to believe in you, a couple people to believe in you, and those doors will open up. But I am definitely looking forward to adding more to the education space and bringing the same energy that we do here on the podcast to everybody. So those are my goals, my friend.
If you hear the noise in the background, that's me snapping. I'm snapping for fines, y'all.
There you go. Thank you, Marcus. I appreciate you, my friend. Great question. And it has been an honor, a pleasure. And again, like I said, it was great to meet you in person at TCEA. Thank you so much for the card and giving me your contact information. That is awesome. I appreciate it. And anytime, my friend, and I forgot to say this to Melissa too, but I know she's probably watching or catching this also on the replay, is once you're a guest of the My EdTech Life show, you always have an open invite. So anything else that Marcus wants to share, whether it's just Marcus stuff or Cami stuff, whatever it is, you're always welcome back with no questions asked. Just DM me and say, hey, we want to talk about this. Perfect. We'll make it happen. So appreciate you being here. And for all our audience members that are going to, that watched us live, thank you so much for Steve, Sherry. I know you were here also as well for our double Cami episode. Thank you so much. And for all our audience members, please make sure you stop by our website at myedtech.life, myedtech.life, where you can check out this amazing episode and the 184 other amazing episodes with great educators and creators that you can pick and choose from. Some of those little knowledge nuggets, sprinkle them onto what you are already doing great. And also, if you would like to support our show and our mission, you can go ahead and stop by our store, get yourself a cap, get yourself a shirt. All of that goes back into the show because, again, we just want to make sure that we bring you the best of the best that is out there. So again, thank you for all your support. Make sure you follow us on all socials at myedtech.life. Give us likes, shares, follows, drop us a review. We'd appreciate hearing some feedback from you, seeing what we're doing great, what we can improve, as we're always looking to grow. But don't forget, my friends, until next time, stay techie.